So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." John 20:25. Four requirements were being laid out in order for belief to be made a reality for this disciple. Unless I see the nail marks, put my finger, put my hand where, and put my hand in, I will not believe. The disciple's name was Thomas, and Thomas was the sort of person who needed proof in order for things to make sense, and for him to be able to find relief when things were in question, or he was doubting the validity of them. He needed to see something first, to have that physical confirmation, to be able to believe that something was in fact true. And he demanded something that he may have thought not possible to fulfill. "I must see the marks. My finger touched the marks. My hands touched the marks, and my hand into his side." What he was asking for was an absolute defining moment, and only from that moment would he be able to believe. It was a great weakness for Thomas, as he would before long be confronted with his own words, and they would both convict him and strengthen him in such a way that he would no longer doubt. The resurrected Christ would become real to Thomas by Jesus appearing and inviting him to do each of the four things that he said would assure him of the truth of the resurrection. Thomas would be forever changed by the ways of God and the things of God, by the words of God, all being spectacular and life-changing as they transformed an unbeliever to one who would now with humility believe in the risen Lord. Everybody lives by faith. The question is, what is the object of your faith? What happens when you're brought face to face with that object and your own words confront you? Thomas's journey started after being called by Jesus, and he would walk with him, witness his miracles. He would travel to the countryside with Jesus and the others. And the day came when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus after hearing of his death. And Thomas was worried about going back to Judea, as Jesus had been confronted by the people of that area, and they had taken to the notion of stoning him for what he had said. And so, when Jesus said he was going back to Judea, Thomas didn't understand why Jesus would go there. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." John 11:16. Thomas may have had trouble believing, but his loyalty gave him the courage to accompany Jesus no matter what the danger may be or where the calling may take him. Too often we put our trust in the wrong things, the wrong people, and we find that we can get hurt badly by what happens. Picture yourself hearing that someone you love and had passed away was now walking around and others had seen or spoken to them. What might be your belief? More likely, disbelief. No one comes back from the dead. And yet, here were Thomas's companions claiming that Jesus was alive. They had sat in the upper room after Jesus had broken bread and partook of the cup with him. He sat with them and he told them of the things that were yet to come. And Jesus told them that one of them would betray him, that Peter would deny him three times, and that they should not be troubled by the things that were about to happen, for they must take place. They needed to rest in his assurance that he would come back for them, because surely he would be leaving them for a time and they couldn't go with him at that time. And he said to them, "You know the way to the place that I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:5-6. But they didn't understand. Jesus was here amongst them, and they could not believe the totality of the truth that sought to enter into their hearts and for them to gain understanding. They knew that this was something that had never been, and that they were a part of something bigger than themselves, and yet they didn't understand what Jesus spoke when he referenced himself from the scripture. Instead, they sought confirmation for their belief. And it came by actually seeing, and when the propping up of their faith should have come by witnessing what Jesus did and by the words that he had spoken or from the truth that had filled their hearts when they were with him, they still didn't understand who he was. When walking with Jesus, are we, as they were, needing to seek physical proof as to everything he does before we can believe that he does it? If you do not hear audibly his voice, how can you know it is him who speaks to you? Where do you find your courage when courage is called for if you can't confirm in some tangible way that the truth presented to you is his truth? And how will you ever be able to believe in miracles if you can't witness the details of what happened? Where will peace and fulfillment come in prayer if you can't see who it is you speak to? We, like Thomas, come to those moments when fear grabs hold so tightly and so intensely that, like Thomas, who would not believe anything that was told him concerning Jesus' resurrection from the dead as truth without first seeing or touching, we ourselves will not believe. The only way that he would is if the conditions he had now set out were met. Then he may be able to believe, but first he needed to see. And faith is confronted. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John 20:24-29. How many of us have been like Thomas, or perhaps are yet today, waiting for the miracle that will convince you that Jesus is who he said that he is, and that all that has taken place was for your sins to be forgiven, for you to know life as could not be known to you without Jesus? How long will it take for you before you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life? What needs to happen for your unbelief to become belief, or your doubt to be transformed into trust? He had found each of them. They thought that they had lost him when he died. They had hesitated when told that he had been resurrected from the dead, and yet each had been transformed, and after seeing him, the moments now were no longer of concern, but the focus became of eternity. Their hearts now filled with purpose, and the work that had been accomplished by Jesus on the cross while in the tomb was now being celebrated in heaven, confirmed. This was bigger than them, and it was bigger than any one of us. You cannot see him today, and yet you can see him if you look for him. You cannot touch him or look upon him today, and yet he can and does embrace you and pick you up and guide you along the path of righteousness if you will let him. Angels proclaimed his birth. Angels proclaimed his resurrection. You are given the opportunity and the privilege and the honor of serving him by proclaiming that he lives today and he is coming again. So from Hebrews 3, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion in the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and for 40 years saw my works. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. And so I swore on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a wicked heart of unbelief that turns away from the living God. But exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened in sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if we hold firmly to the end the assurance we had at first. As it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in rebellion. For who were the ones who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was God angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, and whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would never enter into his rest? Was it not those who disobeyed? So see to it that it was because of their unbelief that they were unable to enter. So, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Heavenly Father, help us to believe so that we may taste the freedom that comes when we place all of our trust in you. By your faithfulness, we are saved. By your sacrifice, we are redeemed. And by your love, we live. Amen.